Good evening, everyone, and welcome to eBible's Question and Answer this Tuesday night. Tonight, we're going to take a look at the Bible with any questions or comments that anyone may have, and each person is invited to share whatever may be on your mind. If you're joining us through Pal Talk, you can raise your hand, and then when prompted by the moderator, enter your question into the text, and the moderator will relay it to us in this room. If you're listening through Skype or through your phone and you're in the conference room, all you have to do is hit star 6 and then the number 1. And that will raise your hand and also place you in the queue for you to ask your question or make your comment. And I'll try to respond as much as possible by going to the Bible, as the Bible is the authority. Nothing else, no one else, but only the Bible, because only the Bible is the Word of God, and therefore can be trusted and has all authority in everything that it declares. Now, to begin with tonight, I'd like to, go over one question, at least, that's coming through a group on Facebook, as this question was asked there by someone, and it's referring to Esther 8, verse 10, and that verse says, "And he wrote in the king Ahasuerus' name, and sealed it with the king's ring, and sent letters by post on horseback and riders on mules, camels, and young dromedaries. If this, if this is after May 21 and the door to salvation is closed, why the urgency on sending out the message?" Well, it is after May 21 in the spiritual setting, because this has taken place after the second banquet of wine, which was held on the 17th day of the second month, and that identifies completely with Judgment Day, May 21. And notice that there were four methods of transportation, four different kinds of animals. And the number four has to do with the furthest extent or universality, universality, like the four points of the compass. And this indicates that the message of Purim would go to all 127 provinces, which really picture the whole world. Now, I'd like to point something out. What we have learned in the book of Esther, what we've learned when we've studied especially the information of the banquet of wine, and God has hidden the date of that banquet, isn't that interesting in itself? that it's not stated plainly that it took place on the 17th day of the second month. Other dates are stated plainly. The first decree went out on the 13th day of the first month. The date is given. The decree after Haman's letters are reversed went out on the 23rd day of the third month. The date is given. The date of Purim itself is given, but not the date of the banquet of wine. God has given us the date, but notice that he hid it. It was only after we added up the 30 days, that length of time since the first decree was given, and then counted out 3 days and nights of fasting And then the next day, the first day of the banquet of wine was the 16th day of the second month. And then finally, the second banquet of wine came the following day on the 17th day of the second month. It was hidden. Why would God hide it? Because he did not want us to put that all together, that it was the 17th day of the second month, until it was the time to know this. And by the way, that also tells us that God did not want us to factor the information of Purim in all that much into May 21, leading up to May 21, because if we would have seen that, we would have had quite a lot of questions as to why time continued in the book of Esther after May 21, not 5 months, but 10 months. And in other words, it would have caused us to really rethink some things, and we would not have been blowing the trumpet in the manner that we were. You know, that God is the one, and I say this, I know some people don't like to hear it, but I say it because it's true. God is the one in complete control of what we're able to come to know as far as the truth of the Bible. He's the one who hides it, and he's the one who reveals it according to his timetable. And he did not reveal these things prior to May 21 because he wanted the world to hear the proclamation of Judgment Day in the way that they did hear it. And that was all God's allowance. He allowed us, he permitted us to have misunderstandings. It doesn't mean he has any sin in or any wrongdoing at all. It's just what God wanted to happen. And you know, what happens is always what God ultimately wants to happen, and that is what he intended to happen for that message. But when we look at the 17th day of the second month in the book of Esther, and we find out exactly what the posts were carrying, what sort of message it was after Haman was killed and Mordecai was exalted, that was included in the information given to the provinces. It says in Esther chapter 9, in Esther 9, in verse 2, the Jews gathered themselves together in their cities throughout all the provinces of the king Ahasuerus to lay hand on such as sought their hurt, and no man could withstand them, for the fear of them fell upon all people, and all the rulers of the provinces and the lieutenants and the deputies and officers of the king helped the Jews because the fear of Mordecai fell upon them. For Mordecai was great in the king's house, and his fame went out throughout all the provinces, for this man Mordecai waxed greater and greater. And this is a large part of the message of Purim. The provinces undoubtedly would have heard that the man Haman, who pushed for that original decree, who wanted all the Jews slain, he himself was slain and hanged on the gallows. And Mordecai, a Jew, had taken over his house and became second in command to the king. This information went forth along with some other information related to the reversing of the original decree. Now, when the provinces received this news, they would have realized deliverance has risen up for the Jews. Mordecai, a Jew, certainly would not look favorably upon anyone who tried to fulfill the earlier decree, and all the authorities and all the provinces knew that, and therefore when the second letter of Purim, or when the letter reversing what Haman had done, went out, it was in itself a note of deliverance. And so as a result of what happened on the 17th day of the second month, it was proclaimed to all the provinces that Haman had been killed, Mordecai had been exalted, and the Jews were delivered. Now, when we think about those three things, we realize spiritually that is teaching that the message of Purim will be a proclamation that Satan has been put down on the day of judgment, May 21, that Christ, typified by Mordecai, was exalted on that day, and that on May 21, all of the Jews, or the elect people of God, were delivered. They were saved. And you know what? When we think about all that information, which really is the majority of information dealing with Purim, the only thing in addition would be the date itself of Purim, but all the rest of the information has everything to do with the Feast of Purim. And when we think about that, we have to remember that after May 21, that the message from Family Radio on the Family Radio Bible study, which went to all the English-speaking nations of the world, North America, Canada, and it went out to many nations, and many people even in non-English-speaking nations could hear the teaching. And what was the teaching? For 3 months in an intensive way, it was that May 21 was Judgment Day. It was a day that Satan was deposed, he was put down, that Christ was exalted, and that the prison house of Satan, where all the spiritual prisoners were kept, was open. The great earthquake opened up the bars of the prison, and all the prisoners, all of them, were delivered. So, in other words, the proclamation of Purim has already gone out during the first period of 5 months. Those Bible studies were in August, September, October. Much of the information has already been proclaimed, and in November and the last couple of months, we've seen information in the book of Esther that basically has confirmed the earlier teaching and added a little bit more. That's also highly significant what we found in the book of Esther matches so well with what we were teaching earlier in the study, the end of the captivity to sin and Satan. And in other words, the teaching of Purim may be much further or wider known than we would normally think. It could be something that is really gotten out there. And this is something that has gone to many, many places through the teaching that was on Family Radio for that time and now recently. But as far as the question, why the urgency? you know, we're not to question God's dictates and why we're to do it speedily. You know, the Bible says we run the way of thy commandments. What God wants done, we are to obey. And the best way to obey is quickly, to do it fast. It's not to, in order that people hear to be saved. That's not the point. It's not the people here in order to be warned about Judgment Day. They've already been warned. But it's to bring the word to God's elect. And we don't know who they are, so we try to share it as far and as wide as we can. And what happens when God's elect hear? They become encouraged. They, you know, I've received a really nice note from someone through Facebook who was just telling me of basically just being cast down for a period of time and how the news of Purim has lifted his spirits and encouraged him. And I thought, well, that's a perfect example of exactly why God has opened up this information and why we're sharing it. Because when God's people hear it, it is an encouragement to them. And on the other hand, when people fight against it, and they're not fighting against the scriptures, there's very few people who are trying to argue that the things we're seeing in the Bible aren't so. It's more like generalized arguments. Oh, we thought it would be May 21, and we thought it would be October 21, and therefore we're not going to look at this information. We have no interest in it, and I just wonder, because God's people, the book of Esther is very clear, hear it and rejoice. And why wouldn't a believer be encouraged by the idea that everything still fits and is in perfect, is understandable? Everything according to the timeline, May 21, the 5 months period, everything still ties together, and we're still encouraged to look for Christ's coming according to his timetable, yes, but still in line with everything else. Well, thank you for your question, and we do have a couple people online, so let's go to the next person. Welcome to eBibles Question and Answer.
Our first question from Pal Talk tonight comes from Rez29. Could we look at Matthew chapter 12, verses 34 through 37? The question about those verses is, do these verses relate to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 12 to 15, which describes the day of judgment as the day which will try every man's work to see what sort it is?
Matthew 12:34. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. Excuse me. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. And the person wanted to compare this to 1 Corinthians 3, 12 through 15. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he has built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. And I'm sorry, what was the question in relationship to these two verses?
The question is, do these two verses happen to relate to each other?
Do they what?
Does Matthew chapter 12, verses 34 to 37, do those verses relate to 1 Corinthians 3, verses 12 to 15?
Well, only in the sense that it's talking about the day of judgment, and so is 1 Corinthians 3, 12 to 15 in that passage, talking about the day of judgment. But in 1 Corinthians, it's going into more detail as far as the trying nature of judgment day regarding every man's work, and it is indicating that it'll become manifest or it'll be revealed. The fiery trial of judgment day will reveal if we have true faith, which would be the faith of Christ, or if our faith is not true and we just have a profession, just like those in the churches and congregations. You know, God gave the church a severe test, and we fully understood that, and we acknowledge, yes, it's a proper thing to do before bringing about the end of the world and the end of all things. God tried his people, those in the churches, if they would trust him and his word. And basically, the test was that he would open up the scriptures and reveal that it was time that judgment began at the house of God. And that would be the churches and the congregations. And then many passages began to open up confirming this. The whole book of Jeremiah, much of Ezekiel and Revelation, and just all throughout the Bible, we saw information that God had a plan near the end of time, during the Great Tribulation, to judge the congregations. And the language of the Bible was really horrible. Woe unto them that give suck in those days. It pictured the church as a desolate wilderness, no water, a famine in the land, not one stone left upon another. And so this was shared, after God opened it up with his people. His people shared this information with those in the churches, and they did not believe it. They couldn't see it. They couldn't see any of it. When they were told that the Holy Spirit has left your midst and Satan has taken his seat ruling in the church, they didn't see anything of that kind at all. Everything looked the same to them, and it was an invisible judgment, a spiritual judgment, and the test for those in the churches was, do you believe the Bible? And it could only be discerned with the eyes of faith, because faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And therefore, the vast, vast majority of people in the churches did not hearken to God and stayed in the church, and finally judgment day came, that was it for them. It was concrete evidence that they did not have faith. They did not believe the Bible. And so God separated the wheat from the tares. Those that were his people, he drew out of the congregations during that 23-year period until all that were left were tares. And immediately, when Judgment Day came, all in the churches were bundled as tares for the fire, and Judgment Day began a spiritual fire. And so they were burned up. There was no salvation in the congregations for 23 years. Not possible. And yet there was always the possibility of coming out during that time in order that God might save. But now the judgment on the church transitioned into the judgment on the world. And the judgment on the church was no salvation within their midst. And that expanded now to the whole world. And therefore they were caught. They were caught in the fire. They could not have become saved prior to May 21 while in the church. They remained. And now when Judgment Day came and there was no more salvation possible, spiritually, they were cast into fire and brimstone as tares bundled for the burning. And that was their test. But, you know, there was a great many people that for whatever reason, were outside of the churches. And there were some that were in the churches and they hearkened and came out. But there was others that weren't in the church for whatever reason. They didn't like church, maybe. Maybe they didn't like the authority of a church. They didn't like someone telling them what the Bible said. They had their own ideas. They were very independent thinkers. And these people heard about the end of the church age and they latched on to it. They kind of like that. No one to tell you what to do. Only the individual and God. That suited them. And more than that, as the gospel was going out in the latter rain outside of the churches, millions upon millions of people all over the earth were becoming saved outside of the church. They never went into a church. Therefore, they were never tried. They never experienced the same trial of faith that those in the churches experienced for the 23-year period. So what was to be done? Remember, we all recognize that God gives a period of time of trial. He tried those in the churches before just bringing Judgment Day. Well, now in his wisdom, he designed a trial for those outside of the churches. And it's very, very similar to the trial of faith for those that were in the churches. What if God brought about Judgment Day on May 21, and yet it's a spiritual Judgment Day? It's a day in which Satan, who's a spirit being you cannot see, was put down. He lost all authority. And Christ, who, since he's God and God is a spirit, and Christ is in heaven, not on earth, we haven't seen him. No one's seen him since the first century. What if Christ was exalted at that time? And what if the spiritual prison was opened up and all the elect became saved, all whose names were written in the Lamb's Book of Life? But you can't see that either. And what if because of that, that meant there was no longer any more salvation for the people of the world? God shut the door on the church for 23 years, but they didn't believe it. They didn't believe it at all. They didn't believe Satan, or they didn't believe God was not there, and they didn't believe Satan was there. They didn't believe any of it, and therefore they continued in that situation. Well, what if God has arranged a spiritual judgment for all those people outside of the churches? Judgment Day came. How many times since May 21 have you heard people say, nothing happened? Nothing happened. on that day. Well, yeah, but, you know, as we've continued to study this, we see there was a lot of things happening, and we could show it from the Bible. And look just from the book of Esther. Look at all that's taken place on the 17th day of the second month and all that it teaches spiritually. And again, Satan, typified by Haman, losing his authority, being humiliated, and finally being killed on that day, and Mordecai being exalted, and Esther pleading for all the Jews and all the Jews being delivered. Exactly what we had seen earlier during the 5 months' time leading up to October. And yet people don't seem to hear it. They don't seem to pay it any attention. Of course, God's people do. God's people do. They're understanding it. They're seeing, oh, yeah. And they recognize that God does bring spiritual judgment. And it's a perfect setting. It's perfectly designed by God to try the faith of all those outside of the congregations during this time. And what would be failure? What would be failing the test? Well, going back to old doctrines like no man knows the day or hour. Going back to church because, the timeline's proven a bust. So the end of the church age was based on the timeline. Let me go back to church or going back to the world. And after all, I just kind of joined up when I thought that this was a serious thing, and who wants to be caught in their sin if Christ is coming? And since he's not coming, let me go back to my sin. And these are the tests that now we also should probably keep in mind that when God tried those in the churches, someone could have stayed in the church all the way up until the very last day and come out the day before, and possibly God could have saved them. And so, too, it's possible that someone could be failing the test to some degree in one way or another at this time, and yet maybe they're beginning to hear information that, and they're starting to think about things again. And in other words, just because someone went back to sin or did something like this doesn't mean they failed the test. It the complete failure isn't done until this period is over with, and someone could just temporarily stray, and maybe God could bring them back. But that's what God has done at this time, and that's what 1 Corinthians 3 is looking at. This is a period of time, and let me read it again in verse 13. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day, that's judgment day, and it's actually a period of 10 months about, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. And so it's going to become evident during this period of time what our faith is. Is it Christ's faith, or is it faith that is not really of God?